If you have your Bible, turn with us if you will. Go to Genesis chapter 3 tonight. We've been looking at, for the last year and a half, studying sections about God, what He's doing, and we ended up talking about now our authority and obeying the Scriptures. Where do we get our authority from? The Scriptures. And we're doing an in-depth study about that, the Scriptures, and what they're actually should be doing for us in our day. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your precious word. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that lives in us and when we got saved. And then, Father, the fact that He who wrote the book gives us understanding. We spent the time. Getting saved doesn't come automatically. You have to trust Christ as Savior. And once one trusts Christ as Savior, growing in grace and knowledge doesn't come automatically. You have to study the same book that you learn how to be saved to know how and what it is that God have us to do. And I pray tonight that we'd learn. Let this not be a time that's boring, but let it be a time that we'd learn about our life before you and what you require and how the power is available to help us do what you ask us and tell us and demand for us to do until we get out of this world into a glorified body. Then everything will be programmed like it should be. We will have instant knowledge, no doubt, in that day in the glorified body. And we'll know the will of God in such a way that it won't be like it is now. There's a hindrance now from the time that God reveals to us through His Word, through our heart, mind, and all that filtering that takes place. We lose so much, but that day comes, there'll be no filtering it about. Everything will be known just as it is, and You'll give us that ability to have instant knowledge for throughout eternity, and we thank You for that. But now we need Your help to understand Your will, Your purpose. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Last week, we was talking about where authority comes from. We said the Word of God, and we said last week that, first of all, God speaks to us through His Word. Without it, we wouldn't hear the voice of God. And it's interesting when you begin to realize everything I know about God comes from this book. But even as I made the prayer, when we're studying or listening, we filter things out, and suddenly God becomes something other than what He's trying to tell us in most people's eyes. In this world today, should not be for the child of God, but it is for most people. We began to listen to information, but then we form an imagination around that information about what we want God to be. And therefore, voices get our attention. And the reason I know that is because Eve was in a better position and spot than you and I have ever been in this life to have the ability to think and make reasonable judgments. And Satan got to her in an absolute innocent, perfect society. And if he's got that power to do that, you know good and well, he's got the power where we're at because we were born in a sinful society. We were born without Christ. We were born in sin. We received the nature of Adam. And even now that we got saved, we know there's a new creation in Christ Jesus, but that old nature is still there. So everything we hear about God is filtered through the system that we're living in, this body. And there's a lot of times that we do just like Eve if we're not careful. We have the power to obey, but we have to obey before we get the power. And a lot of times we fail to obey and wonder why we are where we at, what happens sometimes, and can't really get a feel about what God is doing because God has a purpose for us. And until we reach in direction of that purpose, our lives not count much for Him. Every one of us have a purpose. God has a purpose for us. Based on our ability, He's measured each of us a measure of grace that we would use, and He gives abounding grace as we use that. So, first of all, we looked at the fact that God speaks to us through His Word. Then last week, we talked about why He's speaking to us as human beings. We defy the Word of God. Now, we understand the world does that. But you and I will do that unless we obey what God says to do. Now, if God says something to do, and I don't think it's really what it means, like Eve did, it makes no difference. What God says is so. If God tells me to do something and I don't do it, and I misunderstand it or have a reason for it, I come up with something, we're going to look at some of that, some reason for not doing it, then and if God said do it, there's no excuse for that. Because like in Eve could not get out of her situation once she did what she did. Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, she couldn't get out of it by herself. If God had not done something for her beyond the sin, she'd still been condemned with that sin. So what sometimes we make decisions based on where we're at because there's more voices than just the voice of God. Anything God tells us to do, you can hear many voices in this world say, but that's not really what God meant for you. That's not really what direction God would have you to go. You know, that might have been 100 years ago or in the Old Testament, but not in our... And by the way, there are some things in the Old Testament that's not meant for us. It's meant for Israel. But then Paul warned us in Corinthians that we should look at what God said to the Old Testament, for that's for our learning. That's for our admonition. That's for us, That's for us to understand that there are some things that God said was wrong. And look at how God dealt with Israel when they did that. And it should cause a somewhat of a fear for us not to do the same thing if God said not do it. So here we were looking at this defiance. And we see that beginning in Genesis 3. We saw our first parents, Adam and Eve, for instance. They were given words from God. And did you know, ladies and gentlemen, I say again, I said last week, had they obeyed God, we would have had the most unimaginable benefits in this life that you can imagine. It's unimaginable. Well, if they had obeyed God, the benefits from that first obedience of that one command would have caused an atmosphere that is just... It's like, it would be as if what God tells us about heaven now. Eyes not seen, ears not heard, neither is entered into the heart of man what God has bestowed for them who trust Him as their Savior. Or trust Christ as their Savior. So again, here this one thing caused a great chaotic condition in our life. Adam was warned, was he not? Adam was warned. Eve, go with me. I want to show you. It wasn't that God warned Eve at this time because she wasn't even alive at the time that he gave this command. If you go back to chapter 1 and you'll find, go back to chapter 2. You'll find in verse 15, and the Lord God took the man. Who is that? Adam. And put him, the man, Adam, in the garden. And he said he did it to dress it, to keep it. Amazing thing about that is there was no sin then. So there were not thistles and thorns and things like that. But there was something about the garden at that time to come the joy of just seeing the fruit produce. Notice he said, and the Lord, in verse 16, God commanded the man, saying, every tree of the garden thou mayest eat freely, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Adam was warned of death, which would come upon him the very moment he defiled God. Was he not? Now, could he have an excuse for doing it? He might have thought he did, but he didn't before God. Because it was concrete, it was straight, it was forward, it was up, it was nothing hid. All he had to do with all the blessings of that garden and all the blessings of God's presence was not do this one thing, that one tree. Then we go in the process, see him creating Eve from the rib. And then we get down immediately after that's taken place, and God sets forth the home, verse 23, 24, and 25 of chapter 2. We move into chapter 3, and the first thing we see is the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. We looked at that and described that last week. He was a finer being, he was a thinker, he was a skillful, clever, crafty person, or individual. And he was something that was not easy detected. That means that he could tell you something and you just could not detect it as being all that wrong when he began to make you reason with the mind that God had given us that no other creature had. There's no one else, no other thing in his being that's in this world or the physical world. In the spiritual world, they're the angels. They can think like we do. In fact, they're more powerful thinkers than we are. They're more powerful than we are. But on the other hand, in the atmosphere of the world, molecules and atoms, where we live at, in this physical world, all other animals are less than the image of God's image, and that's man. And he's smarter. He dominates, and that's what God told him to do, that he would dominate all the others in this life. Then he sees that they have a mate. Adam doesn't have a mate. You know the story how he put it. Adam asleep and from the rib made him a woman. Now, whether there's people scoff at that today, whether you believe it or not, don't make no difference. It's so. I mean, the world can, you know, but say, how in the world can God take a little bone and make a woman? A woman's a lot bigger than a little bone. Well, how can he take the dust of the ground and make you and I? I mean, a God can take dust of the ground and form it into in a lump of clay that's lifeless and blow into the breath of life. He don't have any trouble taking a rib out and making a woman like that. When I see what's happening, then I see he comes to her and he begins to try to deceive her. And he does deceive her. Life for the believer is to become doers of the word of God. We looked at it in James 1, verse 22 last week and week before last. Now, notice the serpent approaches Eve with a question. By the way, more than likely, if he tells us to do anything, he'll approach you with a question and me with a question too. Because he knows he can't get one to do something unless she can get you to question whether God is real or not real. A person not saved, first thing he'll begin to do is make them think that he's not real. He'll begin to question in their mind what we're saying about God. How can it be? How can this, look at this, how can anyone make this? How can, look at us. It just don't seem sense. It seems impossible. It seems ignorant to believe that there's a supreme being that's lasted forever, and we come from that. And yet, when you really get down to it, it's more sensible and believable than what they say, how we came from a blast back yonder somewhere or another. But when Satan comes through someone with a question to reason about what God had said, because we have that mind, it's very powerful unless we have an antidote for it. A person who will not believe the God of this Bible has no antidote when Satan comes and whispers in action or words or in event, whatever, that what God has said is true, because if he doesn't believe that God exists and he can't find out that a God exists, who he is without this book. This book will straighten out about who God is. If without this book, then God can be anything to anybody depending where they're at and who they're looking at. They say to us, though, this book is like all other books. No, it's not. I don't find when God inspired any other written person, any other written document that they say is theirs. I find where God said he inspired this book. But I don't find where he inspired the Koran. I don't find where he inspired the book that confuses you. I don't, or the Hindus. I don't find where it says he inspired those things. But he says he inspired this book. And I'm going to take God at his word to it, because I believe it makes more sense than the alternative that the world gives to us in this particular life. So life for the believer is to become doers. And the serpent approached, and he says, watch in verse 1 again. We've seen this a little bit last week and go a little further. And the Lord, he said, and the serpent more subtle to than any beast of the field, with the Lord God and made that God had made, and he said unto the woman. Now listen, get the scene here. Who did God say, don't partake of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil to? Adam. Do you find anywhere that God said it to Eve? No. But Eve knew about it. Wonder how. Got it from her husband. I would imagine, hey, there's a long time that Adam and Eve was around that garden, in that garden there, and a long time that God came down and communed with them in the heat of the day of what that meant. And he communed with them. And here, there's no doubt in my mind, she knew about it. In fact, when Satan said what he said to her, hath God said, she repeated what God and added even to it, which God did not say. And so she knew about the tree. Don't you think that, you say, well, preacher, read behind the line. Well, God didn't tell us, but there's enough there to realize since he knew about it and God didn't tell her, she had to come from a husband. Now, my question is, how did it come? Could I speculate a little bit? You can speculate too if you want to, but you better be in the right direction. I would think there'd come a time that Eve, this beautiful creature, woman, that God made for Adam to reproduce on this earth, his image through procreation. I would think there was a time that Eve had to say, because she had a mind. Adam, what about that tree there? I noticed we out of everything around this tree, but we hadn't plucked one thing out of that tree. And I said, but God said not to touch that fruit, or not to eat that fruit. He didn't say touch, he said not to eat it. And he says, the day ye eat thereof, thou shalt die. Now, she knew what God had said. And no doubt she got it from her husband. So what happens is this. Satan, in the form of the serpent, didn't go to Adam. He went to Eve. She got it second-handed. And so here's the case where he went to her. Satan, knowing that Eve was the best thing that happened to Adam other than God. By the way, woman is the best thing to happen to man other than God. I'll be honest with you. And I'll say this to you, ladies. Now, we thank God for our children, but the wife and the husband are better to each other in best things that happen in their lives other than God. And then thank God for the children to come along. So here he was, knowing what God said to her. And all of a sudden, he comes one day before God comes down again to talk to them like he did, have communion and tremendous fellowship. And I know they were overwhelmed when they knew God was coming. It had to be. Wouldn't you be? I would be. I mean, they weren't even in a fallen state. They certainly enjoyed it. But I know that up out to the scripture after 51 years, I'd rejoice if God could come down and I could see him and have a day with him and talk to him. After I got off of my face about 4 or 5 hours, because I think I'd be on that for a while. Amen. But Adam and Eve didn't have to do that because there was no sin to separate them to start with. And now, here comes Satan. And as we watch him approach this thing, he shows his craftiness here. Are you sure that God said what he said, Eve? Hath God said it? Are you sure God meant what he said? I thought, what is death? No one has experienced death. How can you understand what death is if you never experienced it? But wouldn't you think that someone who had authority, someone who is the God of this universe, would tell you there is such a thing as death if you do what he says not to do? It must be an awful thing, hadn't it? But then again, you'd wonder, if we've never seen anybody die and someone's talk about death, we'd be wondering about what is death? Suppose that God had let us come to now 6,000 years later and the earth had been 3 times population is now, more, many times more. And all of a sudden he'd send down and say that something we did, that we were going to die. And after 6,000 years, nobody had died. By the way, from eternity past until he created the angels, no one had died. And even those he cast out, they didn't know what physical death was. There had not been death eternal as we know physical death from eternal past until Eve and Adam in the garden. So that means from everlasting past, there had been no such a thing as death. So what could it be? I mean, after all, what a wonderful place this garden is. We got all the, man, you can't have a better government. You can't have a better economy. Everything we need is here. We enjoy it. We enjoy each other. We have food. We have this whole garden, but only one tree is out here. And there's a mist in the midst of the garden, the tree of life. I don't know why they didn't question that. It looks like that Satan might have went to them about the tree of life. Because God said after this, put them out of the garden, lest they partake of the tree of life. There's something about the tree that had life in it to partake of would have caused something too, probably from a better standpoint. And so what happens, we see he's going to about this second thing, which is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And this is how he approaches Eve. Hath God really said this? Did God mean what he said, you think? See, Satan's intention was to destroy the authority of the Word of God. It was God's Word who told Adam this. God himself in his Word. And his main thrust is to destroy God's Word for them. Why? Satan is not trying to help them. Because he knows already that when sin enters in, there's a separation of God. He saw that in heaven when the third of the heavenly host fell with Lucifer. There's a separation from God. And he knew that when this took place, there'd be a separation. He knew God meant what he said. But she didn't know because she never knew what death was. And so he begins to ponder her. And what amazes me, where I'm in Genesis 3, where I'm in the New Testament, where I'm in halfway through the Old Testament, where I'm in 1 John, where I'm in the age of grace, now where I'm at now. The tactics of Satan is the same. When 1 John again says in chapter 2 about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and pride of life, it's the very same thing. Those gates, the same thing that John warned about for us in the age of grace. It's the same thing that happened here with Eve when Satan, he has no other tactic. Those three things get us because those three things are the nature, fallen nature we have. The lust of the flesh overtakes us. In fact, it's so great we don't even realize sometimes what it's doing on simple things. The lust of eyes is the same way. And then, of course, that leads to, we'll look at that process. There's a process there that God shows us that takes place. So Satan's not trying to help them. Satan wanted them to adopt an attitude of superiority over God's word. In other words, if God said it, but God didn't mean it. Are you sure he meant it? He was establishing a superiority over what God had said. By the way, did you know, ladies and gentlemen, if God said something, and I read it or knew it or didn't know it, and any if I had heard it, and I go against what God said, I'm doing the same thing. I'm establishing an authority over the Word of God. I am a child of God, and so it's any of us out here. And then we understand why the world does that, because they don't know no different. But they're established an authority of what God said. I've become the when I disobey God, I become the authority of what God has to say. And God says, we have the ability to know the difference. When it comes to what I'm to do, what he tells me, I have the ability to know the difference. God gives us the power. Not only does he save us, he gives us the power available to help us do what he shows us that we need to do. And so again, Eve said that God said this. Now, I can just imagine later, you go through this, he said, you shall not eat the tree of it. He said, had God said you shall not eat the tree, watch in verse 2. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden. Of the tree, fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest you die. Now, you see, I don't know where she got, neither shall she touch it. You don't find where God told Adam that. I don't know if Adam told her that to add to it. I don't know. But I know when she came to hear what Satan said about this tree, she comes back but says, but wait a minute, God has said we are not to eat of that tree nor touch it. Did she not know what God said? Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't identify and try to understand what's going on in her mind, you'll never really understand how Satan works with us. Did she not know what God said? You know, I think sometimes we're afraid to want to know what God said because we think like we're not held accountable if we don't know. And I found out a long time ago, I'm held accountable if I don't know because God's written it down. If it's not in this book, I don't have to worry about it because everything's written in this book. If it's in this book, I have to worry about it. It's there whether I know it or not. Amen? It's there whether I know it or not. And I have to understand that. And the older I get, the more I see that. And the more responsibility comes to try to dig it out. Or at least say, Lord, here am I. Please help me understand this thing. And so here I see Eve now coming up. And of course, Satan said, and the serpent said to her, woman, ye shall not surely die. Ladies and gentlemen, let me ask you a question. If God said you're going to die, and Satan says you're not going to die, which one are you going to believe? That's exactly right. And here's the thing about it. They had been around God a lot longer than Satan. You don't find they even knew he was here right here this short time. But it had been, if we look in years, I don't know if they had years there, but they had years in that particular time. There's a lot of time that God came down. They'd been around God as a man and woman for years. And then Satan comes here with this one thing and tries to deceive them and does deceive her. He falls by transgression. And so I said last week, I believe probably something went along like this as she looked. And then you see in verse 6 what happened. In verse 5, let's go back. Said the serpent said unto her, ye shall not surely die. That ought to have been a flag right there. Now, wait a minute. Did God say that? What did God? God said, you shall surely die. And Satan said, ye shall not die. Now, that won't be enough to get her. Because you can weigh that out if you want to, right? Who am I going to believe, God or Satan? So what happens, voices, in this case the voice of Satan, inside begins to speak and outside. There's a combination of the two, which being to work on her flesh, her eyes, and the pride that you have. by wanting something that you can't have and be able to get it. Look what he said. He said, God, you shall not surely die. Why would he say that? That's not enough. He shows further. He says, for God knoweth that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open. Well, now she's already seeing physically. So there's something here more than that. Notice he saw. Then he said, and ye shall be as gods, little g, plural, knowing good and evil. Now this adds to it. God said this. Hath God said this? God said, I die. Ye shall not surely die. The way of those two, God would outweigh, I believe. But the question is, if Satan has said, I've seen what you're wondering, Eve, why would he keep you from that tree then? This great, good, wonderful, magnificent, powerful God has given us all of this, 99.9% of this garden and the rest of the world on the outside, and that one tree. Why is he holding that back from you? No animal can reason that. And the thought process begins to think in her mind. And watch. Once he said that, verse 6 is important, and when the woman saw that the tree was good, first of all, for food, what is that? Lust of the what? Flesh. Right? Right? And what? And that it was pleasant to the eyes. What is that? Lust of the eyes. Go to 1 John chapter 2. You'll find out that John wrote this out, what these eye gates were. And then notice he said, and a tree to desire to make one wise. She couldn't be no wiser than she was. No sin had interfered with her. No brain cells died. She had the perfect brain cell. Sin hadn't inhibited, so you could get no smarter than she was at this time in the sense about what's going around. I'm sure they grew some, but I'm saying you couldn't got any smarter. She didn't have not one brain cell that had died. Not one cell in her body had died that we know of because there was no death hadn't entered in as of yet. Sin had not entered in. And James 1 tells us exactly how that process comes. And then he says, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat. Once she saw it with her flesh, it was good, and she saw it pleasant to the eyes and it desired to make her wise. It says, she just took of the fruit. And Adam must have been close by because it said, and she gave it to her husband and he did eat. He didn't even try to quit from doing it. Now, I feel for Adam a little bit. I feel for him in the sense that though it don't make it right to be a human being, he would know when she took it, she fell, and he hadn't fallen because he hadn't taken of it. And he would have known there's something between him and this beautiful creature, his wife, called woman, named Eve. He and her didn't have, they were not compatible anymore now. By the way, sin separates. And no doubt, when we get over the New Testament, it talks about that Adam took of it. He took of it by transgression. He wasn't deceived. He failed. He did it, and whether it was the seduction and the sin of Eve, we don't know, but it made no difference. When Adam took of it, the human race fell into sin. When Adam took of it, it causes our problem. I don't know what would happen if he hadn't done it. I know this, though, we wouldn't have the problem we have now because it came because of that. We inherit the fallen nature of Adam. All the New Testament is full of that. Even in Romans chapter 5, talking about death and so forth, how we get it because of Adam. Now, when I go back and look at this, I see some things. And maybe I wonder how that happened. I mean, it just looked like it said, Eve heard that, and she took it, eat it, and she gave it to Adam. Man, this is good, Adam, eat it. I'm not so sure it happened like that. Maybe it did. But I understand this. Persuasion is a part of Satan that we don't never think of a lot of times. Because we think we can't be persuaded to go against God. But ladies and gentlemen, if you be honest, we do it every day. There's something every day we do that I guarantee you. We go against what God would have us to do or say or do. But by not being contacted all the time, there's so much. God has a purpose for our life. And let's face it today, more than likely, that purpose has not been fulfilled completely in all of us today, what he has for us to do. And I'm glad His mercy and grace extended to us after we're saved. And so I see maybe God's, one day, that same day or whatever it was, there was a time maybe Eve said something to Adam, something like this. Again, I mentioned it last week. Adam, you know, the serpent said this. Now, I know God said this. You told me God said this. But the serpent says this. The serpent says what God said is not true, because he's holding something back on us. And I can just imagine in my mind, as I put it together to understand a little bit. Now, honey, we have a right to make a decision. I make a decision, you make a decision. We have a right to make a decision. We have a right to decide which one is right. Now, I know I believe God, but if God is a loving, wonderful God, why would he hold back this one thing? Why would he keep us from this tree? You know what? Satan said, it's because he knows something we don't know. He wants us to know that tree is of good and evil. Now, we know what good is, but what's evil? Could evil be something better than good? If you didn't know what evil was, would you not think that way? Now, hypothetical thinking here, but I want to tell you, it didn't just happen just click, 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 click. It happened the way you and I live. What happens to you and I before God and before this world don't happen click, 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 click. It happens in the decision makers we make and the authority that we have and what we decide to do and not do in this life. That's the way it is, folks. This thing of Christianity is not just Sunday morning shouting and going back into the world and come back Sunday morning. That's not that. It's how we do things daily walking with God, making decisions based on knowledge from the Word of God. And so I can imagine she says now, to him, some, again, like this, you know, Adam, I've listened to him, and I just feel like there's something different about this tree and what we're hearing, and I made my mind up. Now, you need to make yours up. And she gets it and bites on it, and I don't know where she said, boy, it tasted good. I don't think it tasted sweet, bitter, and she offers him. Now, I left them know, well, there's so much we don't know, I love to know what happened from the time she bit of it till he took it. Wouldn't you? What did he see? Did he see something in her that he knew he couldn't identify where he was at? Don't you know he loved Eve? I know that because I love my wife. And I'm in a fallen state and I still love her. Adam didn't have no one else to choose from but her. She was a beautiful woman on the face of the earth at that time. She'd been ugly as homemade soap. She'd been beautiful. There was nothing else to compare her to. But I know she was a pretty woman. I'm sure of that. And here he sees her. There's something I have to believe. But he don't make an excuse to do it. It is something that he saw that convinced him to do it, even though he knew God said not to do it. Did you ever hear somebody say, you know, I was in such a place and something happened. I knew I shouldn't have, but I did. Boy, I've heard it, Barbara and I've heard it counseling over and over and over again. I knew better. I knew what God said. I knew, but I was there and I shouldn't. I knew before I did it, I shouldn't have done it. I think we find that Adam was looking at his wife that God had given, that he really loved her. It don't make an excuse for him. He can't get away. And by the way, here's the thing. How would you have thought, I got to call it. How would you have thought, now what did he say? The day you eat thereof, you're going to die. That means the very precise moment you take of that fruit, I don't care if it's 10 o'clock in the morning, 12 o'clock, 12:01, the very moment, the very second you eat that food, that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you're going to die. Is that not what he said? But wait a minute. He took of it, and he didn't see her fall over. He didn't see her fall over physically. Am I getting anything to you at all? Listen, God doesn't mind us thinking if we have the right information to think from. He's not only given us his word, he'd give us patterns. He's given us stories. He's given us examples in the past that we can analyze and look at and say, if I'd been there, what would I have saw? And God helped me get something from that to help me in this particular day that I'm living in now. And here, she didn't die. Not saved, baby again. Could that have been a reason? You think that, but don't make an excuse. Whatever reason he did it, he was going against God. But would that have been a reason? Hypothetical. I can't prove it. But would that be a reason that maybe he saw her and she didn't fall over dead? And in fact, I don't know if he knew what dead was. But he saw no difference, whatever it was. And so when she handed it to him, he took of it and he didn't die. He saw no difference as far as himself is concerned. He didn't understand, though, there's two deaths. The one cut off from God starts the process of the physical death. And at that moment, he was cut off from God. She was cut off from God. Cut off. They died spiritually. No more awakened with God now. No more can God have a relationship with them until something is done to settle the score. They know what death was. And when God came down looking at them, we'll look at it more next week just to get this in. When God came down looking at them, they ran and hid. They knew both, hey, both of them knew something wrong. I wonder what caused that. There was an internal situation that took place that they didn't enjoy the presence of God. I was on the phone praying with a fellow the other day. And I counseled on the phone. And I said, I was getting over. I said, well, will you let me at least pray with you? He said, no, I don't want you to pray for me. I said, all right, that's good. I got to go. Then he said, wait, please do pray for me. I want you to pray for me. I just started praying. Harder than you ever heard me pray too, I guarantee you. And all of a sudden he said, well, wait a minute, why don't you stop, right? Don't pray no more. I said, okay, bye. I hung up on him. I mean, I'd gone as far as good. If I can't pray, there's no longer to do anything else. You say, that's harsh. No, it's not, if you knew what I've been through. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, Satan is a powerful being. And it comes a time when you look at things. This particular person here, in Adam, they saw something we can't imagine as of yet, because we were born in sin. But I believe it all my heart. As God came back and killed the lamb and dressed him with clothes, with skin clothes, applied the blood like it would, I believe with all my heart there was a period of time there for certainly, if you look at it from the time that maybe it might have been a year or two, they said, well, you know, what is death? We still haven't seen it happen yet. They saw God kill an animal and put the blood so they could be atoned so he could have fellowship with him again. God had to do that. They couldn't do it themselves. But can you see him going now and say, maybe a year and a half, 2 years later? Say, and I see if he's talking one day. I wish I had the money to direct some stuff. I'd make a film. My mind just goes wild when I sit by myself and just meditate on these things. And I can really see that maybe Adam and Eve one day is enjoying it against anyone will be back right with God. I said, you know, I wonder what this thing death is. It's been almost 2 years. I'm just hypothetical. 2 years, and we didn't see anything other than the fact that we had that separation with God, and all of a sudden, God did kill that animal for us, implied some blood, and now we got a wonderful relationship with God, but wonder what death is. But when Cain rose up and slew Abel, she touched it. He touched it. It hurt. It cut them deep. No one in here who's ever had a child, no matter what age it was, it died, it didn't cut you deep, whatever the reason was. Death became real then, right? They understood. There is the event, and we're going to see that. There is the event of one time making a sin. Then there's a process of sin for the results for. That's what James tells us. That's when he talks about what the tempting, moving in. In fact, we're going to look Sunday morning how a test turns into temptation. How when God tests us, it can turn into temptation if we're not careful. And God cannot be tempted. He doesn't tempt us, but he tests us. And when we do a certain way on the test, then it becomes a temptation to those beyond the test. Father in heaven, please help us. I don't want to go through this fast, Lord. I want to take and understand from where I'm at. If I can grasp, with your help, understand the scriptures and openly want to understand how it affects me, and put myself back there looking at the scene, taking the words that God said, taking the environment around what's been said, the story, and be looking at it and realize that there's things that goes on that cause, because that's the way we are today. We hear something, we think about it, we rationalize on it, we pray over it, we go through a series of things, we hear voices, and dear Father, those voices many times sidetracked us, tried to get us away. You can talk about get someone saved, and someone will tell them, you don't need to be saved. That's just someone trying to push religion down, and it sounds right. You know, that's all they're trying to do. They're trying to get a convert for a number rather than this. And it's just the way Satan brings voices to the mind to confuse what they hear, to get off the focus onto something else, and Satan just makes it look like a lie that someone's trying to push their religion down on you, that someone's trying to put you in a straitjacket religiously so you can't have no freedom, no fun. It amazes me how today the same principles are there, just a different way it's approached. That's how Satan works. Help us grow in Jesus' name, I pray.